So my son, John, the youngest of my three kids, who is now a senior in high school, came into the world comfortable in his own skin. He came into the world somehow knowing who he is and being completely at ease with whom he knows himself to be, which has been delightful to witness and experience, and which has sometimes created friction between us. When what I knew, for example, as his mother, was right and best for him, was in conflict with what he knew within himself to be right and best for him. For example, one day when John was about 3 years old, he was sitting at the kitchen table and he had a pencil and he was moving it back and forth along the crack that the leaves, two leaves of the table made. And I saw him doing that and I said something like, John, don't do that. That's not what pencils are for. We don't write on the table. And he didn't stop. So I went over, and I'm pretty sure my patience was already wearing thin from whatever had happened already that day or in the previous 3 years. And I said to him, give me the pencil, please. And I held up my hand, and he stopped moving the pencil, and he looked at me, and I said it again, give it to me. And my dear, sweet, delightful little John held my gaze and proceeded to throw the pencil on the floor. And I grabbed, in my impatience and exasperation, I grabbed his hand and I smacked it. And I said, you do what I tell you to do. Or in other words, I'm the boss. I didn't tell you to throw that pencil on the floor. Who do you think you are? Well, he was about to let me know who he understood himself to be. Because after I smacked his hand, he scrunched up his face and he looked away and he said, I won't cry. Or in other words, you are not the boss of me, because I'll do what I want because I'm John, and that's who I know I am. And in that moment, I realized that I had a very different type of kid on my hands, a kid with his own sense of authority. I'd known that since he was born. Of course, he had this free-spirited joie de vivre, this open-heartedness that exemplified this strong sense of himself. And it was evident to just about anybody who knew him. But in that moment, I was struck by the crystal clear realization that he was not going to be an obedient child just because I was his mother. As for the most part, Sarah and Ryan, his older sister and brother, had been. John had and continues to have a strong sense of his own authority that comes from within himself. It was often challenging when he was younger, and sometimes still is, but it is a gift that I believe will serve him well throughout his life. So today's gospel passage, as you listen to Jennifer read it, has a lot to say about authority. Well, at least it talks a lot about authority. And I do think it has something to tell us about true authority, the kind that's offered to us by God, that's available to us through God, the kind that we find as people of God, the kind of authority that I believe our world desperately needs. So let's take a look. In the very first verse that you heard, we find Jesus teaching in the temple. Now, this is the temple in Jerusalem. The lectionary reading skipped what came in between last week's reading and this week's reading, which was Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, the story that we normally associate with Palm Sunday. But that happened just before today's story takes place. Jesus had arrived in Jerusalem. People were cheering and shouting, Hosanna. And he had gone into the temple and he had, according to Matthew, had his fit of rage, throwing out the people that were buying and selling things, turning over the tables of the money changers. And now, the next day, he's back. And he's teaching in the temple. And we read that the chief priests and the elders of the people come over to where he is. These were the top dogs in Judaism. The tippity-top priests. Jesus had gotten the attention of what we might call the real muckety-mucks. and they are not coming over to thank him. We read that they ask him, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? Or in other words, we are the bosses here, and we didn't tell you to do these things. Who do you think you are? By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you that authority? So if I were asked the question by the muckety-mucks of the Presbyterian Church, this is J. Herbert Nelson, the stated clerk, I would answer them. I suspect if you who are or were labbies were asked a question by Tom Mason, the director of LANL, you would answer him. I'm guessing if you who are employees of LAPS were asked a question by Jennifer Guy, the superintendent, you would answer her. I suspect that for most, if not all of us, if we were asked a question by someone we considered the top dog, someone who had tremendous authority over us, the default would be to answer the question. You'll notice in today's passage that Jesus didn't answer their questions, not directly. He knew that their questions weren't coming from a place of genuine curiosity, but rather a place of condemnation. He knew they really weren't just waiting for his answer, but they were baiting their trap. He also knew that the authority they came in wielding was irrelevant. The authority within which they stood to ask him those questions didn't matter. He knew that they really didn't have any authority, not over him. He knew that the authority they had was externally granted, resulting from their education, their position at the temple, their role in Jewish society, the power given to them by Rome. It wasn't insignificant, this authority that they had, but in this case it was irrelevant because it was granted by the structures of the world around them, and Jesus didn't operate within those structures. Jesus also knew that his authority, the authority in which he stood, in which he was doing the things that he was doing, whether in the temple there in Jerusalem or on the back roads of Samaria, that authority came from within. He knew that that authority had been given to him by God and was dependent on nothing external, nothing outside of himself, nothing of the world. The authority in which Jesus stood and from which he acted came from God and was centered deep within himself. So with all of that in mind, as Jesus was asked that question, those questions, he responded by saying, let me ask you a question. What do you think, muckety-mucks? Was John the Baptist actually a messenger from God, or was he just some crazy guy out in the wilderness? What do you think, most learned priests, teachers extraordinaire, you who are responsible for passing on the faith to the people? Well, you would think that these priests, who were the top priests, most learned priests, would have wanted to seize the opportunity to show off their faith and their knowledge. You think they would have grabbed the chance to stand there and respond with the right answer from the deep conviction within themselves. This was their big chance to put Jesus in his place. And instead, they said, give us a minute. And they huddled up and they argued with each other about how to respond. And here we can really see the ugly face of this externally based authority, because these leaders thought about their responses in terms of the consequences they would have to them. They considered how one answer, if they said yes, would get them in trouble by themselves, get themselves in trouble because they weren't following John. And they considered how the other question, if they said no, the other answer would get them in trouble with the people, because the people thought that John was a prophet from God. So either way, how do we answer this question? We answer the question by considering how the answers will affect us. So instead of acting from this authority that they claim to have, they acted from a place of cowardice and fear? And their answer was, we don't know. These religious leaders had all of the external trappings of authority, the status, the positions, the roles, the robes. And they suddenly seemed to not know their own mind. They suddenly seemed to have been taken down from their looming places of power and control, finding themselves instead in places of fearfulness and spinelessness. "We do not know the answer to your question," they said to Jesus, or maybe just muttered it under their breath, feeling both angry and ashamed at having had what was really the fragility of their authority exposed. They seemed to enjoy being in a position of power until they had to take a stand that might have consequences for them. They seemed to enjoy the status that came with being leaders until they were faced with having to make a decision that might upset a bunch of people who would then be upset at them. They seemed to enjoy the privileges that came with having authority until that authority was questioned and challenged by someone whose authority that on the one hand was so much less than theirs. Jesus had no training, no status, no official role, but at the same time so much greater than theirs. I think they knew in their heart of hearts that the authority in which Jesus stood came from God, and that theirs came from not God, or at least not in the same way as his. But rather than be curious about how Jesus came to have that authority, they were threatened by it. Rather than opening their hearts and acknowledging the depth and the truth of his authority, their hearts were hardened and they sought to eliminate it. Rather than humble themselves and follow Jesus in his God-given authority, they clung to the authority that the world gave them and they plotted to kill him. Jesus knew this was all in their hearts, and I think it grieved him. And so he told them a story of a father and two sons. To one son, he said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And this son, maybe like John, my son John, said, "No, I don't want to. I'm not going to." But then sometime later, he changed his mind and he went. The father said the same thing to the other son. "Son, go work in the vineyard today." And this son said, "Sure, Dad, I'm happy to. Whatever you say, I'm on my way." And then he didn't go. So Jesus asked, "Which son did the will of the father?" And everyone who was listening, as well as us today, knew that it was the son who had initially said no, appearing to give the wrong answer, but then went to the vineyard, and not the son who had apparently given the right answer and said yes, but then didn't go. Jesus seemed to be saying that kingdom living is not about the externals. It's not about appearances. It's not simply about saying the right thing or looking the part or playing the role. It's not even about doing all of the right things if doing them is simply a matter of checking off the boxes on a checklist that has been given to you by someone else. None of that is what being people of God is about. Kingdom living, fulfilling the desires of God, living as people of God with a sense of God-given authority, is an internal thing. It's about what's inside. It's about what comes from within the heart, that deepest and truest part of ourselves. It's about figuring out and then doing the things that God has given us to do. It's about seeking and then living the life God has called us to live. It's about discovering and then becoming who God has called us to be, and doing all of that humbly and courageously and with kindness and authenticity, regardless of the consequences, no matter who is pleased or upset by it. It's about living with true authority, Authority that's based on knowing who God is and who God has called us to be. Easier said than done, for sure. But worth desiring, worth seeking, worth working for. Because that kind of authority, true authority, God-given authority, authority that is internally seated and centered, not dependent on externals, that kind of authority will truly allow us, both as individuals and as part of the body of Christ, to stand tall and to live from within our beliefs and to live out our convictions and to live unafraid in the world as people of God. That kind of authority is true authority and will allow us to truly live. And people that are truly living with that kind of authority, I believe, is something that our world desperately needs. So let's do it. May it be so. Amen.